Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome into First Take. Thank you for being with us, suited and booted. Look at this dapper crew. Dan Orlovsky saw you warming things up on Get Up. Louis Riddick, nice to see you, sir. The three-piece, Stephen A., always great to have you back.
Good to see you. You know, it's interesting. You know, we all here suited down and chilling and everything like that. And Dan Orlovsky, you know, fresh off vacation with the tan working and all of that other stuff. He decide he want to be Mr. Chippendales this morning instead of Louis Riddick. But I'll leave that to Louis Riddick to handle. I'll lay off.
First of all, I'm not fresh off vacation, Stephen A. Fresh off vacation.
Yeah, it is.
Second of all, I got to go from like 7 in the morning to 7 in the night today. You know, I haven't, I can't have that light schedule that you're on. So I gotta go all day.
Okay. All right. No problem. I haven't had a day off in the last really, you know, I don't know. It's been a while.
You're the hardest working man in the business, Stephen A. We know that.
Tell Dan. Tell Dan, Louis.
You know who is the hardest working man? Oh, go ahead, Louis.
No, I was also going to say you're also the highest paid, so don't cry now.
Talk to him.
Don't cry.
Last time I checked, you ain't broke.
Hey, look, man. I'm able to eat the prime meats just like you, just not as many of them. That's all.
All right.
You know who's also hardworking? That would be Tom Brady. Just a 40-day retirement. Brady is back. This isn't a joke. I thought it was at first last night. I'm like, is it April Fool's yet? He retired February 1st, unretired Sunday. Tom Brady posting this. These past 2 months, I've realized my place is still on the field and not in the stands. That time will come. But it's not now. I love my teammates. I love my supportive family. They make it all possible. I'm coming back from my 23rd season in Tampa. Unfinished business. Let's leapin' go. Brady making good on his word of playing until 45. Jason Light elated. The Bucks GM releasing this statement in part saying, we are thrilled to have Tom back this season. We said we would leave all options open for him should he reconsider retirement. And today's announcement is something we have been preparing for in recent days. Bruce and I have had plenty of conversations with Tom recently that led us to believe there was a realistic chance he would want to come back. Okay, Stephen A.
Yeah.
Are you surprised he unretired?
A little bit. But the only reason I'm surprised is because of the wife. I mean, the reality is that since 2016, 2017, when she gave that interview, she was revealing, you know, that this is the man that comes home with concussions. Obviously, he had never been listed as having concussions at the time or what have you. She was basically giving us insight and putting the world on notice. Listen, y'all ain't the ones that got to live with him when his playing career is over. That would be me. And so when you looked at it from that perspective, considering who she is, what she means to him and his family, the fact that the wife was pushing for him to ultimately end his career is something that I took into consideration. My attitude was, you know what, he was going to sit up there and hesitate, but you know, to the extreme, until he finally said goodbye. And once he said goodbye, there was no coming back because obviously he was taking her into consideration. But in the end, she is the one that has to live with them. And just like he has to live with her, she has to live with him. And she probably saw that itch that was still there. Her love and support come shining through. She gave him the okay, and he ultimately changed his mind. That's where I'm at with this. That's my thinking. Obviously, I have no inside information whatsoever in regards to that. I'm not in their marriage, but that's what I surmise took place because I never saw anything in Tom Brady's play, fellas, that said he was finished. 43 touchdowns, just 12 interceptions, throwing for over 5,300 yards last season, getting them to the divisional playoff game, coming back from a 27-3 deficit against the ultimate Super Bowl champion, Los Angeles Rams. He is far from finished. To me, he made the decision to walk away because of his family, and I think he came back because his family said, we know how miserable you are just sitting at home watching these games when you can still play at this level. We love you. Go back and play. That's what I surmise has transpired, but I don't know anything.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. Look, I think we all know that the older we get, And the more people that we have to answer to, the more that, you know, we don't make decisions in a vacuum anymore. We know that. Even if we want to do certain things for ourselves, we just don't make decisions that way because that's just not the way life works. And I think even with Tom, look, he was trying to say, hey, look, I know that my family wants me around a little bit more. Everyone knows how I do it. Everyone knows in order to play at the level that I play at, you have to be all in a way that is uncommon, man. Look, many people think that they work hard at their jobs, but they're really not necessarily. I don't know if they necessarily are working to the degree that the people who are the very best, the transcendent individuals, the truly transcendent individuals are working in order to put out that kind of performance with which they put out. And I think Tom is one of those types of guys. And I think he still knew that he had it in him to be able to make that kind of commitment because he knew he was still able to play at that kind of level, that that would be the end result. But when you have a family that sees you leave the house when it's dark, come home when it's dark, miss all kinds of different things that are going on in their personal lives that they would like you to be a part of, and you wind up looking back year after year after year going, hey, when did that happen? When did that event happen? When did that event happen? When you're looking at pictures and they're going, you weren't here. You were off training. You were off on the road. You were off winning championships. Whatever it is, that starts to work on you. And you start to think, hey, maybe I need to go ahead and start making some decisions for other people instead of just myself. But if they give you the blessing and they know that you can still perform on a high level and they know that your life's work has been what it has been, especially in the case of a guy like Tom Brady, and they go ahead and give you their blessing to go ahead and continue to pursue it, you're out the gate, man. You're doing it once again. And that's what he's doing right now. And look, we're all the better for it. We're all going to benefit from it. But Tom's a man. Tom's a human being. Tom's a family man, just like all of us on this screen are. And you know that he was making decisions that weren't just necessarily for him. And you got to commend him for that, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm surprised that he changed his mind. I did not think he would. I thought he would stay retired. I'm not shocked, though, because nothing in the NFL shocks me. I think the reality is this. And Stephen A., you kind of mentioned it. You know, given what this team was last year, who was one of the oldest in the NFL, and they were one of the most beat up. 2 years ago when they won the Super Bowl, they were the healthiest team in the NFL. Last year, they were one of the most beat up teams in the NFL. Even with all that, and Stephen A., again, you talked about it, they lost on the last play of the game to the team that eventually won the Super Bowl in Los Angeles Rams. And I think that, you know, because of all those injuries, you know, when Tom makes the statement of unfinished business, my mind goes like, what do you mean unfinished business, guy? Like, you got 7 Super Bowls. You're the greatest player ever. But the unfinished business is when this team was constructed this time last year and brought 22 starters back, it was, man, this is the team to beat. They could go undefeated. They're going to go back to back. And we really did not get to see that football team last year because all those guys were missed for such extended periods of time. And I think that's the unfinished business with Tom was that team that he played with last year, that wasn't the team that he thought he was a part of because of all those injuries. And I think he's got conversations that he's had with Jason Light, and Lewis could speak significantly greater to this than I can, of, hey, if I come back, what does this football team look like? Because they got a ton of free agents, Molly. I mean, they got a
boatload. Oh, I've got a list right here. 10 notable guys, stars, that they're trying to get done. Obviously, the Jensen deal happened last night. But, Dan, to your point with the roster construction, and, Lewis, I'll let you get in here on this because, obviously, you know much more than I do. From what I understand, he's only going to cost them $20
million. Yeah, that being Tom?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, but I mean, look, there's still some significant players still, even with that being said, that they still need to re-sign. And again, you also have to understand, I mean, we all understand that this is one of the older rosters in the NFL. And even if you bring back the majority of the guys on some below-market deals and you're able to, quote-unquote, run it back, you just don't know what their projected future performance is going to look like because they're all in that gray area. They're all in that twilight zone as far as their career is concerned where you don't know what you're going to get from year to year. So although he likes to say, there's unfinished business. Yeah, there's unfinished business as far as what they want to get done as a team. There's obviously unfinished business as to what Jason Light can actually get done. And then you just don't know what that business is going to look like that they're going to put on the field because you don't know what many of these guys are going to look like. Because, look, I mean, Jason Pierre-Paul is not the same player, look, from year to year. You just can't project that he's going to be the same player. William Golston, you can't project he would be the same player. Look, Carlton Davis, you could. Jordan Whitehead, you could. Because these are younger players that really are right now in the primes of their careers. But you just don't know. I mean, and hey, look, I don't know how many guys are going to be willing to take a Ryan Jensen type of deal. Although he's getting paid a lot of money, their center. He could have stood to, like, absolutely clean up in the open market.
Okay.
He could have cleaned up. So Tom is good. Look, Tom's thinking, look, I love this team. We won a Super Bowl 2 years ago. I know what these players have in them, but there is a little bit of unknown here. There is a little bit of unknown as far
well,
as what can Jason actually do and how are these guys going to play?
Let me say this. You're not wrong. I just think you're overreacting, Lewis Riddick, and I think that you need to calm down with your emotion. I just think you need to calm down a little bit. Let me tell you why.
Okay.
First of all, if anybody knows they're suspect in certain ways, it's Tom Brady. You got the receivers, the situation to deal with. You got the offensive line. You definitely got to deal with that. You definitely got to wonder whether or not Gronk's going to come back. And Gronk, even if he does come back, is capable of giving you something here or there in big moments. But in terms of durability, I'm not talking about just being on the field. I'm talking about in terms of a guy that you can rely upon week after week after week. No, in big moments, you can go to Gronk. For the most part, in terms of that heavy workload, that's somebody else that you're going to have to go to. So there's some question marks about it. I think we know Tom Brady well enough to know that Tom Brady knows all of that, and he took that into consideration. Let's also take into consideration, guys, what we've been talking about the last few weeks. Once we had concluded that Tom Brady had retired, we had assumed he wasn't coming back. We were talking about Aaron Rodgers. What were we saying? We looked at the Dallas Cowboys. We looked at the Green Bay Packers. We looked at the Los Angeles Rams. But the powers that be were in the NFC, in the AFC. You even had some people, not us, but you had some people talking about, is it even wise for Aaron Rodgers to go to the AFC because you got Patrick Mahomes, you got Justin Herbert, you got Derek Carr, you got Lamar Jackson, you got Josh Allen. Why would you go? So what I'm saying is now take that same conversation and revert it back to Tom Brady. Well, look at how powerful the AFC may be, how you got just a whole bunch of dudes in a bowl like crabs in a basket trying to get their way out of the AFC. If you're Tom Brady, we've got Green Bay to think about, really. Of course, you got to respect the Los Angeles Rams. All right, the Dallas Cowboys are in flux. Amari Cooper's now in Cleveland. We'll talk about that a little bit later. Really? The New Orleans Saints, because they seem to have his number in the regular season, even when they don't have a damn quarterback. It's just so much stuff that's not going on in the NFC that is going on in the AFC. The path to prosperity seems a little bit easier for Tom Brady in the NFC. We got to take that into consideration,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, absolutely. Sure. And Dan, to your point of unfinished business and not being healthy, they almost beat the Rams. The Rams won the Super Bowl.
Yeah, they had to have the heroic throw from Stafford to Kupp for sure.
Yeah,
so
the Rams won the Super Bowl.
There you go with the pom-poms. Go ahead. No, there he goes.
No, but at the end of the day, they weren't healthy. They almost beat the Rams.
What's it like to not have anything to cheer about, Stephen A? Like, what's it like to not have anything to be happy about when it comes to your sports fandom?
Hold on, tell me. I have no idea, because I got news for you, my brother. I'm just as happy as you are in life. I just don't have to convey that when I'm talking about a football player. That's all. I ain't got to wear the pom-poms. That's all I'm saying. My life is quite nice.
I think it's important to point out, though, too, because while that team last year did lose on last play of the game, they don't have starting guards right now. This football team does not have a starting guard, right or left. Ali Marpet, one, retired, and then Alex Kappa has the chance to get really well paid. They don't have starting tight ends, and they don't have starting tailbacks. And Lewis knows this, and Stephen A. knows this for sure, too. Molly, you as well. Like, you can anticipate as a player getting X amount of dollars in free agency, and then as noon today hits and tampering period is legal, that amount of dollar might be $15 million and you more than you expected. And then all of a sudden you may have anticipated, I'll come back to Tampa Bay, but then you're going, I can't pass up this money. So while I'm excited and this is huge, we don't know. I mean, this team has a lot of holes. Hold on one second though,
Lewis, before you jump in. I got to pause you on that, though, Dan, because don't you think Tom Brady had these conversations?
Yes.
He literally retired, and I think he legitimately retired. There's no way he's coming back if he doesn't know that he's going to have guys protecting him and some tight ends out there and those three running backs, at least a few of them back.
Totally, but you don't know as a player. You have an idea, but until free agency comes and teams' boards get picked off, and again, Lewis could speak to this much greater, then your value might go up, and you might say, well, I was going to go back to Tampa Bay until somebody, Leonard Fournette would go, I was going to go back to Tampa Bay until somebody gave me $10 million a year.
Yeah, you know, Look, I will never discount Tom's ability to draw people in and make them want to play with him, especially if this is ultimately his swan song this year. And they ultimately, many people on that football team feel as though, look, we do have some unfinished business, and maybe we can win a Super Bowl this year. But remember, last year was a down year salary cap-wise, where many people took below-market contracts, short-term contracts, because they wanted to crack at it in 2022 when the salary cap would explode again and go back up, and then teams would be flush with cash and cap space, you know, hypothetically. And there's going to be teams that are. And there's going to be teams that are willing to go ahead and pay above market. Because, look, we are in a time period now in the NFL where there are no more 3-, 4-, 5-year plans. Everybody seems to be working on a year-to-year basis.
Yeah.
Everybody is like, hey, what can I do to win this year? The hell with next year and 2 years down the road. How can we compete this year? Because, look, the Rams are doing it. They're winning games. Tom's coming back for one more year because he wants to run it back. Aaron Rodgers is coming back. Look, teams are not so necessarily, and I'm not saying I necessarily agree with this, but this is very much so a year-to-year type of league, man. And teams are going to throw money at some of these free agents in hopes that they can strike it big and kind of like foster the right kind of chemistry and the right kind of cohesion within their roster, the same way that the Rams did this year with some very targeted free agent acquisitions and trades. And some of these guys are going to say, Tom, I love you, man. But you know what?
Yeah.
My career is short, too. Yeah. I don't know how long. I can't play 22 years like you. So I don't know if I can come back. So we'll see.
He took all of that into consideration. I think we all know that before he made this decision. But at the end of the day, it's breaking news in another way as well. Usually the saying goes, happy wife, happy life. Today is happy husband, happy life. The wife said, I need that brother happy. Go back and play.
Yeah.
That's breaking news in and of itself. Just my humble opinion.
Well, I'll tell you this. Look, Tom's one of the greats ever. I mean, we all know that. And you know, in order for him to come back and play, given all the responsibilities and all the things that he has sitting out there waiting for him, the day he actually really does retire, for him to come back, he had to have the blessing of his entire support group. And my hat's off to all of them. Because you know, with a guy like this, when he's in, he's in. I mean, it's deep cover, man. It's deep cover.
See, I like doing dishes and laundry. So, like, being home for me is cool. I like doing dishes.
You would say that.
I love
you would
doing
say
dishes.
That. This from the guy that has his wife and coach. I mean, this is unbelievable. It's unbelievable. This
can I
from
hit
this
40
guy
years
old?
People. Can I hit 40 years old before I start flying me or my
you
wife?
You fly, coach. The wife needs to be in first class, you cheapskate. I mean, I thought I taught you some things. I mean, my God.
So
how
on the
cheap
same
can
flight,
you be?
On the
you're
same
cheap.
Flight, I have to sit and coach, and then my wife sits in first class?
I'm just saying she the priority. She the priority. You don't have her coach. You put her in first class.
I'm missing.
She's earned
it. What did I miss here? What did I miss about this first class coach thing?
Oh, you missed it over the last few weeks, man. This dude come on first take. He's sitting there traveling and got his wife and coach sitting there cutting corners just to save a few pennies in his pocket.
No, and then come on national TV and brag
that he was cheap, Lewis. He bragged about it.
Before we move on, I'll tell the real story of what happened, Lewis, so you have the details. Dan went to the Super Bowl, obviously. It's his boy, Matthew Stafford, covering the Super Bowl. He took his wife. They stayed for the game. He took the red eye back to be here for work in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
And he was all upset because he couldn't watch the replay of the game. And Stephen A. saying, well, why? You know, you should have had the beds. You know, obviously, you're in first class, et cetera. You got the TV. He's like, oh, no. You know, I was sitting middle with my wife and coach. And Stephen A. was like, come on. In this circumstance, pay the extra cashish. And in that circumstance, Dan, I do agree with Stephen A. there.
Of course,
money
you
saved,
do.
Molly. Money saved.
Of course,
you sat middle,
do.
And you sat, and he sat middle seat.
Middle,
yes.
Lewis,
sat
yes.
middle
yes.
seat.
Aren't you like 6'5"? It's unacceptable. Not even extra leg room. It's absolutely unacceptable. But yeah,
now, what are you 6'4"? 6'5"?
Yeah, he's like 6'4".
Yeah.
6'5".
Yeah.
Sometimes.
Hey. Yes.
Yo, man.
I'm not even thinking about him.
I gotta get to 40. You gotta earn.
I'm not even thinking about him. What about the wife? What kind of man are you? What kind of man are you?
You
put her in first class if you can afford to put her in first
manhood?
Class. You don't cut corners with her. Just shameful. Just shameful.
Oh, my goodness. Oh. Dan, I know you have a 7-7 day, but you get a break from us right now. We'll talk to you soon.
Go eat lunch.
Thank you so much for being with
us. On me.
It's 10:20 in the morning.
It's lunch for him.
Oh, my goodness.
It's lunch for him.
All right. We'll keep it rolling. Lewis, you'll be back with us for more of these good times. We're going to go to the NBA now. After the 110-107 win over the Knicks, thanks to Kevin Durant dropping 53, KD called out New York's mayor, Eric Adams, several times by name when discussing Kyrie Irving, who sat courtside for the game. Take a listen.
What was the feeling when Kyrie comes into the building and sits courtside, walks with you guys into the locker room, but obviously can't take two steps onto the floor and play?
It's ridiculous. Like, I don't understand it at all. I mean, there's a few people in our arena that's unvaxxed, right? Like, they lifted all of that in our arena, right? So what's the, I don't get it.
It's a second mandate that says he can come in but can't play.
I don't get it. It just feels like at this point now, somebody's trying to make a statement or a point to flex their authority. But, you know, everybody out here looking for attention, and that's what I feel like the mayor wants right now, some attention, you know. But he'll figure it out soon. He better. But it just didn't make any sense. Like, there's unvaxxed people in this building already. We got a guy who can come into the building. I guess, are they fearing our safety? I don't get it. So, yeah, we're all confused. Pretty much everybody in the world is confused at this point. Early on in the season, you know, people didn't understand what was going on, but now it just looks stupid. So hopefully, Eric, you got to figure this out.
All right. KD looking for some answers. Big Perk here with us looking clean. Thank you for being with us, sir. Stephen A., I'm going to start with you. Was it smart for KD to call out Eric Adams?
Hell no, it was not. But before I get into the KD angle, let me say, Big Perk, it was good seeing you draped all over the TV screen yesterday at Kevin Garnett's retirement. I'm proud of my brother. I'm happy they retired Kevin Garnett's jersey. It was well-deserved. That is real as it gets when it comes to that brother, KG. And I was very, very happy to see all of y'all there in support of him. Now let me get back to KD. It wasn't wise. Let me say this. KD is not wrong with what he said. I want to be very clear. Kevin Durant was not wrong in terms of it makes no sense to have a policy, a mandate in place where you play for the home team so you cannot play for the Brooklyn Nets because of the city mandate, but somebody from another team can come into the arena and play against the Brooklyn Nets, even if you're unvaccinated. The fans can come in, even though they're not vaccinated. Kyrie Irving can come into the stadium, to the arena, unvaccinated, but he can't play. It makes absolutely no sense. It's a stupid mandate, and Eric Adams, the mayor of New York, needs to get rid of it, even though he's not responsible for putting the mandate in place. That was under the de Blasio regime, a former mayor of New York. Eric Adams needs to get with the times and understand how idiotic this rule is at this particular moment in time. But the reason why I say it was not wise is because Eric Adams is a politician. How do you think it's going to work for you, Kevin Durant, if you're coming up on this podium after a post-game conference in which you dropped 53 points, and you're going to call out the mayor? Is that going to behoove him to move more expeditiously, more quickly, and capitulate to some of the things that you're calling him out? How has that worked? And even though we don't get into politics, let me get a little bit political here. How has it worked for this country when you see one side or the other ridiculing one another, calling each other names, calling folks out all the time, but then you got hands together saying, would you do this for me? No wonder why the hell stuff ain't getting done. Because nobody's negotiating, nobody's compromising, nobody's talking with any degree of decorum or decency at one another. You butting heads, but then claiming you working together. That's not smart. That's what I mean. And I totally side with my man Mike Wilbon and Jalen Rose on NBA Countdown yesterday when they pointed that out. That's counterproductive. Kevin Durant, as Mike Wilbon so eloquently stated, Kevin Durant is entirely too intelligent, too smart, too accomplished, too business savvy to think that that would work for him with a politician. If you're Eric Adams, and I hope he doesn't do this, if you're Eric Adams, it might entice you to delay even more from lifting the mandate just because they took the position of calling you out publicly. You, Kevin Durant, you could get the man's number. You work for an owner that you play under an owner that has a very close relationship with Eric Adams. I am sure if Kevin Durant wanted to have a private one-on-one conversation with Eric Adams, he could have pulled that off in a nanosecond. Why would you do that? That is just not smart, KP. That's where I'm coming from on the Kevin Durant thing. We'll get into Kyrie in a minute, okay? But for right now, talking about KD, that's where I'm at with it, KP. Your turn.
Well, first of all, I wanted to tell you, hey, I appreciate you seeing me, at, you know, in the garden last night. Like Swag Goose say, I felt like a celebrity, okay? I felt like a celebrity in the garden. But look, Stephen A., here's why I got to disagree with you, Wilborn, my brother Wilborn, and Jay Rose. Y'all are all wrong. It's a new day and age. And listen, you got to shine light on the people that are wrong, because the mandate is not held privately. That's public. So why not call the mayor out publicly? See, I love what Kevin Durant did after the post-game interview. You know why? Because it got me and you sitting up here talking about it today. So as long as you keep shining light on it publicly, then you holding the mayor accountable. Forget all that talking behind the scenes and all that. You don't think they probably done that already? Nothing is getting done. My thing is, in today's world, when you have this dumb rule that we all agree on that doesn't make any sense at all, then you gotta call it out. And you got to call it out publicly. That's why I agree with Kevin Durant and what he did last night. Look, call it out, man. Bring it to the forefront. Let people talk about it. Let the mayor wake up with it on his mind. Let Eric Adams wake up and turn on his television and see us talking about it this morning, so that way he could not lose train of thought that he need to get something done about this rule and get something done ASAP. Because Kyrie Irving deserves to be on the basketball court, period. That's all it comes down to. He deserves to be on the basketball court. And last but not least, what Kevin Durant has shown us is that as far as his brothers, he's the most loyal dude around the world.
That's
true.
As far
as when it comes down to protecting his brother. And that's all he was doing. He was speaking up for his brother, Kyrie Irving, that was sitting courtside yesterday while he was sitting up there playing.
Well, let me say this to you, KP. You'll have a point in my mind if Kevin Durant had that private conversation with the mayor. I don't know that to be true, but my thinking is, in saying what I said, it's hard to imagine that he did, because if he did, there would have been nothing wrong with saying, I spoke to the mayor and I disagree with him. You know what? He needs to change this rule. This is nonsense. But if you didn't speak to him, you're Kevin Durant. You do have a level of clout that most people don't have. And what I'm saying is, first order of business is trying to get it done, not calling them out. You can talk about calling folks out all you want to and bringing stuff to public light. I get all of that. But when you talk about getting things done, that's not usually how things get done. Usually things get done when you've got your cachet and you wield it behind the scenes. Now, sometimes it calls for you to take it public, but that can't be your initial step. And I was making an assumption, in fairness to you and your take, I'm making the assumption that Kevin Durant has not spoken to the mayor directly, because I think had he done so, he would have said so and then said, but I disagree with him on this particular point. And then he would have went from there, and then it would have made more sense. But if you didn't say that publicly, my attitude is, why would you come out publicly when you got the cachet to talk to him directly? Because I assure you, I can promise you, if Kevin Durant wanted to talk to Mayor Eric Adams, he could get Eric Adams on the phone by noon today.
Let me ask you something, Stephen A.
Sure.
Since you brought up the big bros, right? You, my brother Wilborn, Jay Rose. I believe that all you guys are powerful individuals, right? Because of the platform that you guys have, you know, set for you, for yourselves, as far as being voices, you know, that people listen to. Powerful individuals.
Mm-hmm.
Haven't you called out this dumb rule?
Yes.
You
many
called,
times.
You called it out, right?
Many times. Many
yeah,
times.
Publicly, right?
Yeah. Yes.
You didn't have to go sit and have a private conversation with Mayor Adams, right?
Yeah, but
you
it's not affecting me.
Yeah, but it's a dumb rule. So at the end of the day, it's not affecting. No. But this is my thing. Whether it's affecting you or not, right is right and wrong is wrong.
I agree.
And we gotta call it.
Perk, hold up 1 second, though. I don't think Stephen A. disagrees with that. I think it was, and we all agree that Kevin Durant's right, but the tone of it might have been like a little offensive to the mayor, where he might double down now. I think that's what Stephen A. is trying to
say.
The way he came at it, it might irk the mayor more, instigate him a little bit more to double down on it, just because the way it was presented. So it's not that the message is wrong. You know, it was just kind of how he worded it and the tone of it.
Yeah, but Molly, I mean, when emotions are involved, everything is not going to come out peaches and cream.
But you know I hear what I mean? You. We're just saying there could be consequences, essentially.
Listen, we were getting ready to get to transition to Kyrie Irving about how wise it was for him to show up at the arena last night. So let's just get right into that and transition that, because it's all in the same bowl, okay? Here's my point. To get to Kevin Durant first and then, I understand what Kevin Durant's saying. Kevin Durant is right. You and I are in agreement there. I just don't think he handled it correctly yesterday. But he's absolutely right with what he's saying. I said it weeks ago. I've been saying it for weeks. And as much as I've gotten on Kyrie Irving should be playing. Kyrie Irving should not be denied the right to play at Barclays Center. It's ridiculous that this rule is in place. But how you handle it matters. Like, for example, you KD, you more forceful in calling out the mayor than you've ever been in pushing Kyrie to get on the court. I need you, bro. I got to be on out there on the court every night and night and night out without you. You see how much easier life is for me when you're on the court? So we didn't hear anything about Kyrie from KD at all this season other than I support my brother. Then you Kyrie Irving and you come in yesterday. Well, if you're the mayor, you're Kyrie Irving. You walked into that game yesterday on that court. I'm sorry, in that arena at the Barclays Center, you were trying to make a statement clearly as well. And in doing so, how does that help you? See, the point is, the matter is, Kyrie's walking around like he's some heroine or whatever. You got his daddy at games hugging him and embracing him like, oh, my God, you've been so victimized. I'm here for you, son. I'm here for you. Like somebody did him wrong. You got his stepmama tweeting about how, you know what, Stephen A. And she mentioned me. That's why I can mention her. His stepmom, KP, actually tweeted talking about, I'm the first black woman to serve as an agent representing an NBA player in history. Talk about that, Stephen A. Well, congratulations. I mean, congratulations. I'm certainly not throwing any shade on that. I'm not saying I'm not questioning the qualifications. I don't know what that has to do with the price of tea in China. But, hey, I'm happy for you as long as that's what you wanted to do and Kyrie wanted you for that and your family wanted to. Yeah, I'm sure your family's wonderful. Ain't nobody throwing any shade on that. But the bottom line is this. Kyrie Irving is not a star. Kyrie Irving is a superstar. This brother is box office. He is spectacular. And he's not playing in Brooklyn. Although the rule is bogus now, the fact of the matter is the only issue anybody had with it initially is that visiting players were allowed to play. We were saying visitors shouldn't be allowed to play in the Barclays Center either if they're unvaccinated. The NBA agreed with that. The NBPA agreed with that. But now they're supportive of Kyrie because they know the rule makes no sense when you're allowing visitors and fans who are unvaccinated to be at the Barclays Center. But that wasn't everybody's original position. So we need to pay attention to that and stop acting like Kyrie Irving is some victim here. Yeah. Kyrie made a choice. And Kyrie made a choice to sit up there and say, I'm not doing this, even if it's going to potentially cost my team. Now, that's his right. But that's his choice. And we can't act like that wasn't a choice that he made.
He still could get vaccinated.
And he still could get vaccinated.
Keep that in mind.
Eric Adams, the mayor said
he still could before the playoffs.
Friday, I think it was Friday or Saturday. The mayor said, listen, what y'all looking at me for? Kyrie Irving can resolve all of this. He could play tomorrow if he got vaccinated. That's what Mayor Adams said. I didn't say that, but that's what Mayor Adams said.
Yeah.
Kirk, last word here.
So we're talking about you're upset, Stephen A., about Kyrie attending the game yesterday.
No, that's I'm just saying. It's along the same lines of what I'm saying to KD. What are you? You're exacerbating the issue. You're antagonizing the very person that you need to change the rule. That's what I'm saying. I don't know how wise it is. I don't know if that's going to get done what they want to get done, even though they deserve to get it done because Kyrie and KD are right here.
Yeah, and see, here's the thing. My mindset when I'm right and I know somebody is all the way in the wrong. is to apply pressure. I want to keep applying pressure. And I think that's what KD and Kyrie Irving is doing right now. They are applying pressure. Because, listen, like I said, Stephen A., we living in a whole different age right now. We living in a whole different world than what we were 10 years ago or even 5 years ago. Guys are coming up. Guys are being more visible. Guys are speaking out. Guys are shining the light. Although me and you and I both agree, even Molly, we agree on what they're saying. But look, I understand. Some people may want to do it this way, but I'm with the way that they're doing and keep applying pressure to Eric Adams.
All I got to say is I hope it works.
Yeah, it should
work. I hope it works because I want to see Kyrie and KD on the court competing for a championship. I wholeheartedly support Kyrie being allowed to play at the Barclays Center. Mayor Adams should lift the mandate right now. It's bogus. It's garbage. Get rid of it. I just don't know if them doing it is going to work for
them. Well, it certainly highlights the hypocrisy that he can be in the building even if he's not playing. Yeah, go ahead, Brooks.
Stephen A., by the way, on another note, I felt your pain on how you sit in that seat and get double-teamed at times because Friday, I mean, I got a taste of it. I mean, Molly and Monica, you know what I mean?
They tried. You got to watch that.
Wait.
You got to watch that.
Hold up. You said we tried?
Yeah, they tried.
Watch the tape.
Molly throw shade. I saw her throw shade at me, too. Talk about UConn. They're the one team that went at the Garden. I saw her. I mean, Molly going to get hers. She's not her and Monica, Kimberly, all of them. I've taken enough from these ladies. They're wonderful, but I've taken enough from them. I'm coming for all of them. I'm coming for all of them.
Guess what? We're ready. We stay ready.
I don't believe it.
Well, please.
You better be ready.
Please.
You better be ready.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture X card. Earn unlimited 2X miles in everything you buy and turn everyday purchases into extraordinary trips. Plus, receive premium travel benefits like access to over 1,300 airport lounges and a $300 annual credit for bookings through Capital One Travel. Unlock a whole new world of travel with a Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Hey, hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-time chimney sweepers, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish, but you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit DirecTV.com to sign up today. Claim based on the total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Thanks so much for listening to the First Take Pod. Have a fabulous day. Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part, each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code TAKE. That's code TAKE. Visit vividseats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live. Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Have you ridden an electric bike yet? Well, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to more exploring time outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range for up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome. So you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting lectricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com. All right, so the NCAA tournament finally here. 68 teams battling over 3 weeks for the right to be crowned champion. Here are the favorites according to Caesars. Gonzaga, who lost in the title game last year, tops the list, followed by another West Coast team in Arizona. The defending champs, Baylor Bears, have the fifth shortest odds, while Duke in Coach K's final tournament check in at 14-1. It is great to be joined by our coach, Seth Greenberg.
Coach!
Hello, coach. Do you see how thin Coach is?
I have to confess, I have been a little jealous. I've watched him. He looks in good shape and stuff like that. I'm like, damn, he's doing a better job than me. I mean, I got to talk to him about that.
You're busier than me, Stephen, eh? I mean, I'm living on memories.
Please.
You are the show, so let's get to it.
Yes.
Let's start with Duke, coming off that disappointing loss, obviously, to Virginia Tech in the ACC championship game. What's the Blue Devil ceiling in Coach K's final run here?
Look, their ceiling is to get to a Final Four and win a national championship, but the way they're playing now, they're just not a good basketball team. They're not playing well, and everyone talks about the championship game against Virginia Tech, which Virginia Tech absolutely put on a clinic. But think about the game before against Syracuse. Syracuse absolutely was in that game. They were without their best player, Buddy Boeheim. Look, to me, I look at Duke, they don't have an identity defensively. They're not turning people over and creating offense out of defense like they did early in the season. And then offensively, they've got really good players. But I don't think there's a pecking order. Like, Paul Bancaro's a really good player. He'll play for about 10 minutes, take over a game, and then he'll disappear. A.J. Griffin makes shots. To me, they don't have an identity offensively, especially in the last 5 minutes of the game. And then defensively, they don't pose their will on the game. So I have some concerns for Duke right now. They're not playing at a championship level.
And I'm surprised by it because this kid, Bancaro, I'm really a big fan of his. But I also pay attention to the fact that from a Duke perspective, to lose to North Carolina in Mike Krzyzewski's last game at Cameron Indoor and to then lose to Virginia Tech, I was saying to myself the Carolina loss is going to inspire them. They're going to run the table now. They're going to close the deal. They could win the national championship. But then I'm watching some of these other teams. We haven't talked about Baylor enough. They're the reigning national. They're the reigning defending national champions. Kansas is the number one seed. You can never dismiss them with Bill Self at the helm. I'm just looking at some. I watched Iowa the other day with the Murray brothers. This kid, King and Murray, I mean, I love this kid. And Bohannon with the big time three. Indiana, Mike Woodson. I mean, I'm just looking at a lot of these guys. Talk to me about the team that you think we're not talking enough about, who we should be talking about, Coach.
Well, I think it's Iowa. You mentioned Keegan Murray. Keegan Murray gets off the bunch and drops 25. I mean, he might drop 30 on a good day. To me, he could have a Kemba-type run in the NCAA tournament. Now, he's not Kemba in terms of dynamic off the bounce. The guy makes threes. You can post him up. He can play in the mid-post. They run great offense. They get him in all the different places in the action. They move him in the action. He rebounds the ball. He blocks shots. This Iowa team scores it easy. Where they've improved Iowa is defensively. Defensively, Iowa used to be a team that tried to just outscore you. And I know, people, don't at me. I know you got to outscore your opponent. But now they can get stops. They change their defenses. They'll extend their defense. They'll switch. They'll trap ball screens. They'll do different things offensively to play some zone. Iowa is a team that can make a deep run. In fact, I've got Iowa making it out of the Midwest.
Yeah, give me your – can I get his Final Four?
Go ahead.
Yeah. Will you give us your Final Four?
Yeah, sure. It's Gonzaga, Kentucky, Arizona, and Iowa.
Okay.
Kentucky? You feeling good about Calipari's crew?
I'm not feeling great about it because they got to have Davion Mintz and Kellen Grady. Got to make some shots. But they got this guy, Oscar Tshiebwe. He's a mountain masquerading as a man. I mean, the guy goes up, but the ball gets shot. It's like a pass off the backboard. So you got Tshiebwe doing that. The pieces fit for Kentucky. They can score at warp speed, which is important. Oscar's become a better offensive player. They get him the ball in the post. I like their versatility defensively. And when they kind of put their mind to it, they can take you out defensively. The one thing they've got to do is they've got to take care of the basketball. And then when people get up and into them, they've got to execute a little bit better. I thought Tennessee took them out, pushed them out one step further. But I like this Kentucky team.
Coach, the team with the best record is a number one seed in Arizona. You haven't mentioned them yet. They're 31-3. Are we not giving them the love that they deserve? I mean, are we ignoring that?
Yeah, I'm not ignoring them. I got them as my national champion.
This is an
Arizona team that plays at warp speed. I'm talking about elite in transition. They got great wing players. Dalen Terry and Benedict Mathurin. Mathurin will be a lottery pick. All right, those guys absolutely can attack the basket. They both can defend. They share the ball. They're not a good passing team.
They can defend,
a great passing team, and they can really defend. Christian Coloco, one of the most improved players in the country, and the five. They got depth at the five, and Azules Tabrellas is a tough matchup at 6'11 at the four spot. Arizona's the real deal. They can score it. They can defend. They're a terrific passing team. They get easy buckets. They're Gonzaga 2.0, but I think they're better defensively.
Coach, I'm supposed to ask you about a sleeper. Maybe this counts as one, but they're a five seed. Seriously, how far is UConn going?
Oh, Lord.
Do you like it here? They're playing in Buffalo.
Wait a second. Miss Molly, I like the Huskies. I like the Huskies. I think the Huskies have a shot at Connecticut if they get, at Gonzaga if they get to that game. Here's the deal. Physical defensively, check. Isaiah Whaley is a guy that can rebound the ball, defend multiple positions, check. I think Martin is absolutely a tough matchup at the wing. Adama Sonogo in the low post can go and get you easy baskets, and R.J. Cole obviously can break you down off the bounce.
Coach.
I like this Connecticut team. And, you know, look, hey, Danny Hurley gets those guys to play as hard as humanly possible. He's just going to stay off the officials.
Coach, you're killing
Stephen
me. You're spending entirely too much time on UConn. Just stop it, okay? Let me say this to you, Coach. I think Arkansas got an opportunity to take them out before they can get to Gonzaga. How about that?
I think either of those teams can give Gonzaga a run. I've been on Arkansas all season long. JT Notes can really score. Jalen Williams up front. They have a really versatile defensive team. They're really aggressive. Now, they don't shoot it great. At times, they get kind of their shot selection suspect. Connecticut's shot selection's a little bit better. Two teams that mirror each other in a lot of ways. Good size, good strength, experienced teams. The Arkansas-Connecticut game, if it happens, will be a good game. But I do like your Huskies, Molly. I got to be honest with you.
Yeah, and Stephen A., guess who I'm not worried about? Arkansas.
We'll find out. I did watch the whole Iowa-Indiana game on Saturday, man, because I had to support my man Mike Woodson, who I thought did a damn good job at Indiana in his first year. But Iowa was something else, man.
Indiana's
tough in that 11 game. I'll tell you one thing. Indiana, they're going to win the play-in game, and I think they could advance. Indiana's playing well.
I got issues with their point guard, though.
Xavier Johnson's playing a little better.
They got everything else, but they got the point guard spot suspect right now.
You work on your bracket. We're up against it. Right. Coach, you're the best. Talk to you soon.
Thanks a lot, Coach. Bye.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.